You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Jason and John in Sports Talk on 92.9 FM ESPN is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL. Now on CBS and Paramount Plus, watch your local NFL game live every single Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long for the NFL. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN. We've officially made it to Hump Day, Memphis. Congratulations on that, and we officially have a Memphis football starter at QB. Now, not unexpected, but it is official, and it's a reminder. It really is. We're just 2.5 weeks out from the start of Memphis football season. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
We're ready. Could you tell that came from the gut?
It was deep.
That was real?
It was deep.
I saw Gabe when I was getting out of here yesterday.
He's fired up.
When I see his big-bodied self, It also fires me up for football. When I see Gabe in the hallways, I start thinking football. Gabe's talking football. We're talking football. We were talking Silverfield as I was getting out of here. He was coming in.
Oh, he's pumped.
I'm pumped. Just 2.5 weeks out, and we now, as we said, officially have a starter. We will talk about Brendan Lewis, as we said, expected, but now official. Pete Thamel weighing in with the report on that. How about that? You got Pete Thamel covering, you know, Brendan Lewis, the transfer from Nevada, the starter for Memphis. Whew, got some big expectations on his shoulders. We will talk about it. Been talking about him quite a bit this week, but now that's official, we can maybe take a little bit of a deeper dive. How about now, I got to get used to saying it, Brooklyn Nets forward Michael Porter Jr. Used to play for Denver, got traded to Brooklyn in the offseason. He opened up big time on a podcast I think is worth taking a dive into as well about his brother's gambling ban, about vices, but really about how he sees this gambling thing specifically as something that's going to be continue to be a problem. He talked about what some of these players face. It's not them, which I think we've always sort of said, what you doing? Like with Malik Beasley, like what are you? It's your homies you're trying to hook up in some of these cases, and so we'll talk about that because that's probably, when does that ever stop? You know, your homies wanting you to help them out when you've made it to the big league. So we'll talk about that because he was wildly open, amazingly open about, again, his vices, gambling in the NBA, his brother's ban. Obviously, Jontay Porter, his brother, was banned from the NBA back in 2024. It was last year for his role in a gambling scheme. Did you see Denzel Washington go off on Jerry Jones?
I didn't see this.
So I had missed this yesterday. It took place on First Take with Stephen A. Smith. He had Spike Lee on there to talk about the new movie. But the first thing he did was going off on Jerry Jones and Dallas Cowboys. Denzel is a Cowboys fan. Cowboys fans, I guess you all already knew that.
Yeah.
Maybe some of you didn't, but he went off on Jerry Jones. And then Jerry Jones, maybe in a different way, sort of confirmed what Denzel, you know, went off about. And I think what we've all sort of thought about Jerry Jones for a long time, he was at the premiere of their, Netflix documentary about him and the Cowboys, and so he was running his mouth, and every time it seems like Jerry Jones runs his mouth, he just continues to plant our faces into our hands, and he did again at this premiere. We'll talk about that. Before we get to all of it, let me set up the show. 11:25, we'll talk to longtime WREG-TV News Channel 3 videographer Jeff Woods, who's covered Memphis sports for, Channel 3 for 40 years. To the day, today, if you could imagine.
This is the anniversary.
40 years to the day. So back in, 1985? on this day, August 13th, Jeff was hired at News Channel 3 and has covered sports and news for them ever since. He's retiring this week. We've talked about it. He's an absolute legend. Gave him a respect burger on Monday. Eager to get him in here. I had hoped, and this is I was saying it as I was saying it on the radio earlier this week. Don't talk about your plans. They might blow up. I was hoping to get Les Smith, Jeff's old colleague over at 3, my dad on the longtime, later on, Fox 13 reporter, on to join us. He's under the weather, man, down in Belize, so it's going to be tough.
Man.
It's already tough
trying
to get him on from Belize. Yeah. It's all right. I'm going to love on Jeff as it is. He's basically been an uncle of mine in the media, but knew him, obviously, as a toddler. I mean, back in 85, you're talking about a 9-year-old Jason Smith when him and my father were tagging up on sports stories in Memphis. So we'll go back, but more importantly, shine the light on Jeff's career, everything he's covered, all the changes he's seen over the 40 years. Be a nice time to reminisce. Can't wait to talk to him at 11:25, hopefully here in studio. At noon, we'll do the rundown. I did not watch Hard Knocks last night. I'll admit it, Brad, because the first one was so dang boring.
I enjoy the show, even, and I know
so
Jeff.
So you've been watching?
I listened to Jeff talk about this morning, and I watch every second of it.
Jeff's a Bills fan. He thinks it's boring. I heard him talking about
Jeff's
the first
grade
episode.
On it was low.
I thought it was boring.
Yeah, I bet if Jeff had to grade it, he would have graded it a D. He said, we didn't get much. You know, it doesn't offer much. You know, you get the injury stories. You get the story about the Cooks, the running back.
That's what I was going to get to. They did get the good news. Whether Hard Knocks is boring or not, covering them, they did get the good news.
I love the vibes.
That James Cook has reached an agreement on a 4-year
deal.
It's
the vibes for me that I enjoy, the music
and the
intro.
Not having the football, and it's symbolic, right? It represents football's back. I think that's what you're saying.
Yeah,
I get that.
I'm also not an X's and O football fan. I'm a let-me-see-these-guys-on-scooters fan, So
yeah,
I enjoyed it.
It's just so sanitized now, and it didn't feel like I got anything in the first episode, and I literally fell asleep on it. So I did not watch episode 2 last night, but they obviously made some news by getting their running back Cook signed up for the next 4 years. And then at 1:25, we'll talk to Coach Norton Hurd IV. Been very much looking forward to this. Eager to see how it goes. We'll see what we can get out of him information-wise about Tennessee Collegiate Academy. One of his former Team Thad coaches, Mike Wright, will be the head coach at TCA. We're hoping to have him on tomorrow. So, again, we've been learning each day more and more about Tennessee Collegiate Prep, a potentially powerhouse prep school program right here in our backyard that plans to be on the level with Montverde and Spire as part of a Nike EYBL Scholastic's new league. Big prep story. There's no question about it. And they've done a collaboration with Tipton Rosemark. So we'll talk to Coach Norton Hurd IV about that. But let's just start right here. From Pete Thamel this morning, source Nevada transfer Brendan Lewis has emerged as the starting quarterback at Memphis and he'll debut in the opener against Chattanooga. He's a sixth-year senior who played in 39 games at Nevada and Colorado early in his career. As I said, it's news that we expected. Well, and frankly, we said this last season with Seth Hennigan heading out the door, that even with Antoine Hill, the four-star, committed, signed up, and everything else, that if you're Ryan Silverfield, the idea that you would go back to what you did, 4 years ago when you ended up having to start Seth Hennigan as a freshman. It was due to injury, but Seth took it by the horns and go. The idea that you would do that again, start, because these are much different times in the sense that expectations are even higher, and you haven't been in a conference title game, since 2019. And so that's why it made sense, John and I having those conversations. All of us were, guys. This wasn't that you go out and you get a quarterback, an experienced quarterback, out of the transfer portal to put into the quarterback room with Arrington Maiden, with Antoine Hill. We all said you needed to do it. Get somebody as experienced as you can. And obviously, Brendan Lewis brings a great deal of experience, as Thamel just laid out. Last year, I figured, let's take a deeper dive and see, now that we know it's official, and again, we've discussed it sort of around the bush, but now that we know it's official, let's see what we've got. 2,290 yards last year. 67.6% completion rate. You like that? 16 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Rush for another. This is the key and something we've spent a lot of time talking about. Another 775 yards and 8 touchdowns last year. for a bad Nevada team. And remember, that was a really bad Nevada team. Brad, were you familiar with them as the UNLV man? You know, they were 3-10 last year. The Mountain West team finished bottom of the Mountain West, but didn't know if you had paid any attention to Nevada last year. I think they played UNLV, and he had one of his better games, I thought, against UNLV. I could be wrong about that. But anyway, back to, again, our info, us trying to figure out what we've got in Brendan Lewis, and more importantly, what you're going to do with him. Of the 12 games he played last season, he did throw for fewer than 200 in 7 of the 12, but keep in mind, you're talking about, I know, I get it, that
I
doesn't sound
closely,
impressive. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
That's what, I looked at you.
I was waiting for the stop.
For the
and
stop.
Then I was gonna,
I'm sorry. I was seeing you shake your head, and I was thinking no.
No.
I apologize. You watched him.
I watched him, and he's terrible. I'm not a big believer. I think it's ridiculous, and I hope they run the option with him. There's your answer.
He's terrible as a passer, obviously, you're saying.
I think he's very one-dimensional. I think he's never won. He's never won, like, ever. So, like, that's your starter.
Okay. I would just say to that, what has he had around him? Colorado, that was obviously a different time for them pre-Deion.
Right.
So, no talent there. We know where they were prior to Deion. Mm. And then Nevada last year, you know, there just wasn't much around him. Again, I'm not trying to make the argument, Brad, that he's some great passer.
Memphis fans have, though.
But make no mistake about it. But I will stop short of saying that the guy sucks, because, again, Ryan Silverfield had a ton of resources here, and you had a bunch of guys that you could have gone after. Now, maybe not Retzloff, who Tulane just got, because at that point, I guess he's still tied up with BYU.
Yes.
But at the time, you know, you're looking at Brendan Lewis, and you're looking at what he's done, and as that passer, it's 68% completion rate. Now, you know, you're talking about
Nevada team.
On a bad Nevada team. You're talking about a lot of RPO, which we've said, let's get ready for, guys.
Now,
something we
time.
Didn't see a lot of. Maybe it's full option, maybe it's some option, whatever it is, but it's going to be a lot of run, pass, option, whatever it is. It won't be triple option, I don't imagine, like a Navy. But what this is going to be, and it's kind of exciting to think about, a new offense in the sense that, with Brendan Lewis, sure, that running component that he brings to it, it was something you didn't have with Seth. When you've got the running backs that you do with Greg DeRozier and Sutton Smith, you think about the run game, and Ryan Silverfield's a former run game coordinator, remember that. You think about what you can do with those three runners, right, as part of this, the running side of your offense. Okay, all right, you like that, right? I mean, can I get a ding from you on Memphis as a potential running threat team?
I think you should
run the
triple
option. So long as that offensive line that you've spent a lot of money on.
I would flip my whole offense around that.
Okay, yeah, I get it. And you did say that, so I shouldn't even pose the question for you. You want to go total option offense, run.
In fact, they'll win games if they run the triple option.
But okay, I'll give you that. There were games last year where he was solid as a passer. You don't need him to go out and be prolific like a Seth Hennigan. I'm just talking about in career numbers, or I'm going to skip back Brady White, Paxton Lynch, somebody like that. You don't need Brendan Lewis throwing for 250 or 300 yards. And in fact, as I just read you, it's not what he does. Most of the time he's less than 200 because he's running the ball. Now, again, a lot of that's Nevada's offense, whatever else. But here's the point. You're not going to ask him to come in here and be some guy that you're asking to throw for 3,000 or 4,000 yards.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Right? So it is a complete change offensively for Tim Kramsey, who's had top 10 offenses essentially for the last two, top 10 in FBS, 10 and 12 the last 2 years out of, what, 135, 136 FBS. You have been elite on that side of the ball. If you are going to be elite again, it's going to require a major change, because what Seth Hennigan did well is not what Brendan Lewis does. However, back to the point, I don't think he sucks, Brad. I think, and I don't think Ryan Silverfield would have grabbed him if he thought so clearly. And again, you know I've been critical of Ryan Silverfield. I'm not saying everybody that he's gotten, some of them haven't panned out. But my point is, there's enough to like here, it feels like. Those average pass yards end up being 191 pass yards per game to go with 65 rush yards per game. And so he is a dual threat quarterback. Best game as a passer last season it was, Brad. It was UNLV. He was 27 of 37. For 292 yards, 2 touchdowns, was intercepted once. He was sacked 6 times that game. Now, a lot of that's going to be playing catch-up. Mm-hmm. I'm not suggesting he was super competitive in that game, but 27 of 37. This isn't a guy that we're talking about, you know, is going to come out and throw 12 passes and only complete 5 of them. I think he did have a game like that, but I'm saying he's capable of more. And when you're putting him around, and I will continue to say that Tim Kramsey is a great And in fact, elite offensive coordinator from what he's shown him shown us the last 2 years. When you are putting a guy of Brendan Lewis's talents with a guy, an offensive guy as smart as Tim Kramsey, dude, there's going to be enough here to have, no, not a top 10, top 15 offense. Doesn't feel like that's realistic to expect of them like they've been the last 2 years. But, Brad, can you still be top 40? Can you be top 50 if you've brought in the right receivers to put around him? And we know, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but this was the news when I got out that they did add that late add of Cortez Braham, B-R-A-H-A-M. He's the wide receiver from Nevada that your boy Brendan Lewis played with last year.
Right.
And while you just heard me said, well, he didn't have anybody, of the receivers that he had, Cortez Braham caught for 724 yards, 4 touchdowns. He had 7 receptions for 123 yards and 1 TD versus Air Force. That was a loss. There were a lot of losses in that 3-10 season. Again, I ain't trying to tell you Nevada was good. Listen to the numbers, though. 9 receptions for 141 yards versus Colorado State. Lewis threw for 252 in that game. He also had 9 receptions for 110 yards and a touchdown and a loss. They lost to Georgia Southern. Lewis threw for 271 in that game. You see what I'm getting? There's,
I totally see it.
Those two have a familiarity that may help you immensely to help not balance out completely what you've got going in the run game, but Brad, to keep defenses honest.
Yeah.
To keep defenses honest. Remember, we were before this news of Memphis adding Cortez, we were questioning the guys in the receiver room because while you had a bunch of transfers coming in, some of them look impressive. You got a couple of fast ones. The production last year wasn't necessarily there. You're banking on them to have greater production in some cases a lesser league here in the AAC. Well, for Cortez, the numbers were there, but more importantly, he's someone that Brendan Lewis is extremely familiar with and has had success with, and big success. Again, 7 receptions, 9 receptions, 9 receptions, those are game totals. And so it's someone that Brendan Lewis is used to looking up at and finding open. Get what I'm saying here?
Yeah, I do.
I can sense. You're like, man, Jason's coming here.
I Mr. can't believe
super
how amazing.
Critical we had, of Memphis football, saying they got to get to a conference title game, or what are we waiting on Ryan Silverfield? Do it or get off the pot. That's who Jason Smith's been. Brother, when you take a deeper dive, again, into the numbers, I just think there's a lot to like about what you've got. There's more of a conversation here, though, because what we know is Brendan Lewis also isn't the future.
Right.
The future... maybe it's Arrington Maiden. We'll see what happens with that. But we know, too, that there's a lot riding on Antoine Hill, who's here on big-time NIL. Mm-hmm. We've talked about it with John. 4-star QB, what highest-ever-ranked QB that you got as a high school, as a high schooler coming in here as a freshman. Here's the thing. You want to keep him engaged, right?
Yes.
Well, we discussed this. If he doesn't play at all, what are the chances that you're retaining him?
Well, I mean, the best example I can give you is what happened in Alabama this year, where you have a quarterback that's ridden the bench the whole time and he stayed. You hope that you've got a guy like that who's getting paid and that understands and has a relationship with the coach that's like, listen, you're competing for the starting role. You got a 6-year, quarterback ahead of you who we're bringing in as a transfer, but we're only doing that for your own good because you're not ready yet,
Great point. That's Alabama.
Yep. I mean, you're getting $1 million. This kid apparently is getting paid big money.
Your Memphis and Antoine Hill,
yep.
you could see, and a guy who was recruited by some pretty big schools,
yeah.
you could see, much like with Seth Hennigan, a larger school, somebody yeah. with NIL too, making an offer. And we said how unique a situation Seth was. We know he got the offers from other schools.
Yeah.
You managed to keep him and keep enough. But you want to do that again and bank on being able to keep Antoine Hill if he's not a part of the fold? I'm not saying Memphis can't. Mm-hmm. What I'm arguing is that in this day and age of college athletics, and we see it with Penny Hardaway, the freshman mm-hmm. that he just had that transferred out.
Yeah.
But the point is, if guys aren't involved, a lot of times they'll look elsewhere or have those folks, whether it's family or not, saying you'll get a better opportunity elsewhere. And what are we talking about? By that time, he's probably already heard from the other schools. So I say all that to say what we've sort of discussed is maybe having packages for him. Now, he is supposed to be, you've seen his arm, a prolific passer. And so keeping him engaged right? So that you're investing in him staying for, so that you're investing in his retention and keeping him for next year, I think is critically important. How do you do that and have the best guy in there at the same time? It's going to be a balancing act, right? It has to be. Maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm being naive. Maybe Ryan Silverfield can just tell Antoine Hill, your time will come. We're going to roll with Brendan Lewis for as long as this thing goes and as long as he is good for us. And maybe Antoine Hill understands that and tells Ryan Silverfield, you know what, I'm good with that, and I'll be back next year. I'll just watch him even without any packages. Seems like to me, though, you'd want to keep a guy like him involved. Either way, if Brendan Lewis isn't getting it done, because this is still a win big year,
mm-hmm.
I'm not messing around. Understand what I'm saying?
I do understand what you're saying.
Listen, I mean, you start with Chattanooga, Georgia State, and Troy. And so the idea that you're gonna drop any of those or play poorly, that he's going to play poorly in there, seems pretty far-fetched. He should play well enough to keep his job, right? And in fact, I think I want him to keep his job at least through those three games. And Frank, not keep his job, look good through those three games. And so that big one that you've got against Arkansas, your fourth game, you've got Brendan Lewis possibly at whatever the highest level is of him, right? Say it doesn't go that way. Say you've struggled through the first three and Brendan Lewis doesn't look good against Arkansas and you're starting to look now like a team that probably isn't going to finish among the best in the AAC. I would not play around too long with trying to salvage things with Brendan Lewis.
Make a switch.
If it's not going to happen for you, if you're not off to a 3-0, a banging 3-0 start, rolling into Arkansas, look, if that's not happening and you're struggling off the bat, move on.
I think that's a good point.
Move on.
Yeah.
Keep Brendan Lewis in there for as long as you can sealing this thing out, whatever that's going to, again, sealing to me is finding a groove offensively that no is not top 15, but is sustainable.
Yep.
I think bringing in Cortez, Brom, I think that helps immensely in this. There's going to be a lot Memphis can do with its run game.
Oh, yeah.
Bringing in a guy that Brendan Lewis and Cortez is very familiar with. And again, this, you guys may have talked about his potential impact when I was gone. This happened during the vacation. We hadn't discussed him I'd gotten back.
This is good.
I think helps out the possibility of you having that at least solid enough passing game. And you saw last year, there were solid numbers in there on a bad Nevada team, solid enough. Remember, you're still in the AAC. You're going against teams like Chattanooga, Georgia State, and Troy out of conference.
Right.
Like, this should be doable. And frankly, it should be doable at a level high, at a high enough level with the talent you've been able to draw in to make it all happen, frankly. I think you can have a high enough level Brendan Lewis that you've got a good enough offense. Remember, we've told you the story is more about Jordan Hankins, those guys on defense getting it fixed, right?
Yeah.
That's the side of the ball where Memphis has come up short and it's kept it out of a conference championship. So if you're going back to a top 30, top 40-ish offense, and you've got a defense that's moved up from 80, top 70, top 65, I'm talking the SP+ rank. It's kind of like what we use with KenPom. It's a measure of offensive and defensive efficiency. That's a team that can win this conference, perhaps be in the group of five debate, depending upon what Boise State's done, and be in that mix. And if you've included some packages from a man, Antoine Hill, you've got the best of both worlds.
Right.
Does that sound unrealistic? I know that was a lot of talking about, and a lot of it positive, about Memphis football. Does any of it sound unrealistic with what Ryan Silverfield's done in terms of with the transfer portal and everything else, and especially this late ad with Cortez?
No, I think it's all possible with Lewis, and I think Lewis is the
right
move.
It's just
going to
look different offensively.
I think it's going to look not just a little different. I think it's going to be wildly different, and it should be wildly different given the skill set of your quarterback.
Now you started this segment with he sucks, and I'm going to back you up because I had a couple of people reaching out to me last night and said, Jason, I heard you on Memphis football segment. Brendan Lewis sucks. Here's his number. They said the exact same thing you did.
He's never won. Like, he's never won.
And after laying out sort of the argument I just did with you, here's where he and I came back to. If this guy does suck, get him out of there. Start planning for the future because you don't have time to sort of sit on the pot and not do anything here. Get at that point, I'm turning to Antoine Hill. I'm getting him. I'm assuming, we don't even know if Arrington Maiden's the two. If he's the three, we'll see. But Antoine Hill's the guy you're banking on for the future. So he's the one Jason Smith, am more concerned about. And so getting him in there at that point and seeing what you've got and using the rest of the season, you know, as sort of the takeoff is for next year is what I'm doing, because you by next year, you need to be in position again to be able to be at the top of this conference.
Yeah.
So I'm not expecting that. The schedule's too soft to start.
Yeah.
There's too many reasons to believe that they can find a groove offensively with the start of this schedule. And remember, when you get into the meat of the AAC schedule, where it's all going to count in terms of those conference championship game, you've got those tougher games at home. And so hopefully you've got Brendan Lewis nice and familiar with his offense by that point.
Yeah.
A Memphis offense that's maybe run first. No, not maybe. It will be run first. I think we can probably bank on that with the caliber of running backs they've got.
Definitely.
And Lewis's ability to run the ball. So excited to see what it's going to look like, if you can't tell. I'm dead serious. I really think there's a chance here because of the money that you've invested in these players. You probably have the best roster. I mean, we'll see it. We'll see it once it's on the field. But you look at the quality and caliber of guys that Ryan Silverfield's brought in here, there is no reason why you shouldn't be in that conference title game. And with Brendan Lewis under center and, potentially, if you've done it right, Antoine Hill ready to take over next year, your four-star. Because I ain't going another year where Antoine Hill ain't the starter.
No, that makes sense.
I invested too much in trying to get him and in recruiting him here and saying, you're the one. Plus, he's the prolific passer that puts butts in seats. He's super explosive.
Yeah.
So I'm eager to see what it looks like. We're just 2.5 weeks out. It'll be go time against Chattanooga. Yeah, end of this month, guys. We're right here. It's football season. Let's all dive in. We're going to dive into the career of one Jeff Woods. He's my media uncle, WREG, longtime WREG TV videographer, 40 years to the day today, and he's retiring on Friday, I believe, from Channel 3. We're going to talk to him about his career, about his escapades around the country, I guess, back in the day with my dad. I don't know how much of that he's going to tell me. I was a little toddler back then, but we're going to pay tribute to a Memphis legend in terms of Memphis sports media, Jeff Woods, when we come back. You're listening to Jason John, 929 FM, ESPN. His name's Jeff Woods. A lot of folks call him Woodsy. My dad and I call him Bubba. We'll see which nickname he prefers. He's Jeff Woods, longtime videographer for WREG-TV, News Channel 3, legend. Retiring this week. Today marks 40 years to the day.
Dang.
Since he started at 3. I was 9 years old. And like I just told him.
Look at your gray hair now.
He took the words out of my mouth because he's my uncle. He knew what I was going to say. Look at the gray in my beard now. He's done it the whole time at the same station. Unbelievable career. And you're calling it a career officially Friday? Today
yeah,
marks
Friday.
40. Friday's the last day?
Today is exactly 40 years at the same place, and then Friday will be my last day. I'm going to literally walk away while I can walk away.
Are they going to let your key card still work, though, so if you ever want to go back and hang out and just watch them work? Are they going to let your key card still work?
They are not, because they know that I like the free coffee in the canteen too much.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
We'll do the hug later, because as I've tried to relay to our listeners, we're family. My mom would always tell me when I'd say, where's dad? He's with Jeff Woods. He's with Bubba. And my dad had worked with you, obviously, for those that don't know, at 3. I'm trying to think, how many years roundabout was it? You're there the whole time. He got there, I want to say, in 85. We came to work for 5, I think, in 83. And I think in about 2 years, he was over at 3.
Les came over to Channel 3, if I'm not mistaken, right about the time that I started there.
That's what I thought.
He was at Channel 5, and then he came over to Channel 3 right about the same time that I was an intern. I started as an intern at Channel 3 in May of 1985.
Yep.
And then we had the late David P. Pavlik got a job in Orlando, and he left, and I was the cheapest thing they could find to replace him. So they hired me. I was an intern one day and an employee the next, and I've been there ever since.
Unbelievable. What did you think of dad back then? This is mid-80s. Got this little 5'8 black guy coming from, Channel 5, but he'd been at Fort Pierce, Florida beforehand. What did you think about him?
Well, first of all, I had a neck about as big around as my pinky at that time.
Not skinny dude, just like me still now.
He was a skinny dude. Incredibly funny. Incredibly talented. What a writer.
Yeah, dude's a pretty good storyteller.
And speaking of stories, it's probably a good thing even though the statute of limitations have run out, it's probably a good thing that Les and I aren't on here together this morning.
I was so hoping to get y'all together and y'all tell some old stories.
Whew.
And fill in some holes for me when y'all when I was like, "Where's Dad? He's not back yet. Where are they at?"
Well, probably at Zinni's East.
I was going to ask y'all how many beers y'all consumed at
Zinni's.
Probably had several.
Well, real quick, I'm going to set aside you and Dad, and we can get back to all that. Yeah. I want to keep this focused on you and your career, because this doesn't happen. You know, when we talk about Seth Hennigan in 4 years and a guy staying in a school like Memphis, that in this day and age in college athletics, how it's probably never going to happen again in NIL, bigger school come and pluck him. I don't think we're ever going to see guys stay at the same station for 40 years in terms of media coverage like that. I mean, when you think about that and sort of everything you've covered, what strikes you first? What comes to mind?
Well, first of all, yeah, as we were talking about in the break, whether it's motivation or dedication or lack of motivation to go do something else. Yes, I've been at Channel 3 for 40 years, but I haven't done the same thing at Channel 3 for 40 years. The first 10 years I was a news photographer, and then for 14 years had the great pleasure of doing Mid-South Outdoors, later News Channel 3 Outdoors, with Joe Larkins and the unbelievably talented Dan Patton was our photographer.
You guys did a great job.
We had so much fun, and that was just a wonderful experience, but it went away, and then they said the outdoor show went away, they said, "Jeff, would you like a new job back as a news photographer?" I said, "Yes, I would.
Absolutely. I'm going to do what I have to."
Yeah, got to make ends.
I know about that.
So, and the initial shift that I had was I was sports 3 days a week, and then I worked news on Saturday and Sunday.
Okay.
And then after a few years, it just became untenable. I went full-time sports, and I've been doing that ever since.
How tough for those of us that just watch what you do and see it and take it in and say, watch that golf ball fly through the air, and you're staying on it, but how tough is videography? How tough is shooting sports, and what's the toughest one to shoot?
Great question. The neck and neck are golf and baseball.
Golf and baseball.
All right. Just this past week, I survived my last golf tournament.
Round of applause for Jeff Woods.
My God.
It's hot as Hades out there.
Man,
again,
had
Jeff.
His wagon out there pulling around the camera.
Earlier in the week, I was texting back and forth with Jessica Benson.
Yeah.
And I was talking about it being my last golf tournament. I said, "Jessica, you know there's going to be weather and there's going to be a 5-hole playoff at the end. I got the weather part right, and I was just 2 holes off."
You knew playoff, though.
On the playoff. Uh-huh. They were killing me on that playoff.
Dude, it's been a bunch of playoffs the last few years. I think you've been out there a whole bunch extra.
Yeah. But everything was clicking right along. The guys were coming off. Everybody was coming off. Number one tee, twosomes, boom, boom, boom. And then Friday afternoon, I mean, it blew up. Mm-hmm. But we got through Saturday with the threesomes and then back to the twosomes on Sunday, which is so much easier to cover with everybody coming through, from the number one tee.
Dad always told me covering the golf tournament's hard because of the heat and how long it is. And son, if you can stay away from covering it, do it. I read from you, yeah, it's hard. I can watch you and see you covered and know it's hard. But you said something, when you're done, you said it's fulfilling.
Unbelievably fulfilling.
Talk to me about that.
Well,
because Dad never said that. Dad didn't find it fulfilling.
Well, after it's over with.
100%. It's done.
Yeah,
you can put it behind you.
Yeah. Yeah, as Glenn Carver always said,
it's tough work.
Don't tell me about the labor pains. Just show me the baby.
Show me the baby. Carver was tough.
Yeah.
He was.
That's a whole other conversation. No, our man, Glenn
whole
Carver.
Afternoon with that. But after you get through it, and I finally drag myself to the car Sunday evening after it's all over, then you can relax and take those two last Advil after it's over. You were talking about it. It's long, it's hot, it's tough, you have to deal with the weather. But one of the things from our perspective are the logistics of it. Long, huge, I mean, it's just
how far you're traveling,
massive
to cover
event.
It.
Then,
yep.
And people probably think, "Oh, well, you've got a golf cart,
no, sir.
They take you out there." No.
Anybody that's watched you work knows
Put all my stuff in my wagon and you go. And I don't know how it works, but no matter whether you're going, mainly I cover the number one green and number 18 green, and somehow it's uphill going both ways. Don't know how that works, but yes, cover. And there's no way to teach somebody how to shoot a golf ball in flight. You just got to do it for 40 years.
How long did it take you?
You know,
before you were really good at it.
One of our former producers, do you remember Steve Camp?
I remember Campo.
Campo.
We used to call him Campo.
Yeah,
I just remember the nicknames as the kid.
Yeah, Campo. He produced our golf show back in the day, and he kind of gave me tips on if you lose the ball, just keep going backwards, and maybe you'll find it. I can't tell you how many times over this last
Campo.
week that
Phil Dead, his name.
He's like,
Campo.
Oh, there's the ball. Thank you, Campo. I found it.
So baseball, golf is the two neck and neck on the two toughest.
And just quickly, the thing that's tough about baseball, the action is happening in two different places at the same time. With football, you follow the ball.
100%.
Basketball, ball go through hoop. Baseball, ball goes this way. Action is going around here. And as I always told our interns and people I was trying to teach, with baseball, you have to play baseball in your head. If there's a man on second, you got to think, all right, if they hit a double, you know that there's a good chance that guy on second is going to come around and score. So you got to anticipate.
You got to know the game.
100%. So that's what makes baseball tough. But I'll tell you, but following a home run over the left field wall at AutoZone Park, great feeling. And my greatest golf highlight was 2018, Dustin Johnson, 18th hole. He holes out on the 18th. Last hole. Boom, right in, and I was all over it. And that was like, got it.
I saw Sadie put out a half-quarter Hillcrest kid. I think it was a Hillcrest kid hit the other. You got a whole bunch of great shots that folks, if we could put your work, you'd be like, holy cow, he was there for this.
That was so crazy at Hillcrest. It was my last high school basketball game. It was the playoffs, and Hillcrest had to win to advance to their first state tournament appearance.
Dude, your shot on that,
and
on
this
the
kid
of that ball,
comes
you
down
caught it all.
Just past half court, and boom! And I was like, "Well, all right, there goes my high school basketball career. I'm done."
So sweet to go out like that on high school basketball. Had to be. What was the most fun to shoot for you? What sport? Maybe it's whether it's like a Memphis football or Memphis basketball, I don't know, whatever you want to. What was the most fun? Because I'd always look over at you when I was working at the CA. I'm more in-house these days. I need to get out more like I used to be. But I always look at you so busy working, I couldn't tell if you're having fun or not. So what was the most fun to shoot?
You said work, and everybody, people say, you got the greatest job in the world. And I always told them, the part that you see, yes, I do. But you don't, it's like kind of like the duck on the pond. You don't see what's going on.
Them legs kicking underneath.
Underneath that.
All that work.
Back in the day, we used to shoot Grizzlies games from the baseline before they moved us up and off. And I got to tell you, FedEx Forum for a Grizzlies game, like a playoff game, when it's rocking. Buddy, that's a fun way to make a living right there.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. And
has to be.
And same way.
Because you feel it. You feel the electric, right? You can feel it holding that camera, just the it pulsing through the building and coming through the floor.
And with that new sound system that they have at the Forum, it is rocking. You're just pulsing through. But, probably a Grizzlies playoff Grizzlies playoff game when they're really into that.
What was it like shooting Tigers back at the Coliseum? Because that would have still been the case. That would have been the case for you back then, right? Or were you still mostly news back then in those when they were
all
in
right,
the Coliseum?
I did shoot the Tigers at the Coliseum, okay. But I was on the student crew that did the coaches show. We were doing the Dana Kirk coaches show.
Those were the days.
We shot the kids. Get this. I was in the 1985 Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition.
What?
Yes, I was.
What?
Paulina Portikova on the cover. And in that swimsuit edition, there was a story about the 1985 Final Four team.
Wow.
With all those Keith Lee and all those guys. And there's a layout, and then one picture, I could show it to you right now, but we're on radio. It down in the corner is a very skinny, very 19-year-old, or however it was, 20-year-old.
I told you all this dude's seen it all.
Me at the time. And I believe it's a William Bedford is saving a ball from going out of bounds, and just barely in the corner of Jeff Woods is in the 1985 Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition.
A round of applause for that. I must see this picture after. Maybe I can take a picture of the picture. You said you have it of like on your phone or something. You're taking it?
I'm pretty sure I can find it.
Okay. I must ask you to see that after we get done at some point. Maybe we can post it too.
It's going to be grainy.
Yeah. Well, that's all fine and dandy. In terms of you can lead me here as much as you want to, or lead me right out. But the folks that you worked with and for, right? Those, and I know it's a long list of names, but whether it was bosses or you mentioned Campo and some of the tips, like the folks in Memphis media that had some of the greatest impact on you that when you think back on your career, man, working with that guy or that gal were some of my fondest times.
Well, it just immediately pops in my head when I was an intern, our news photographer, Michael Suriani, who is still at Channel 3 and has been there. He's been at Channel 3 a year longer than I have. Alex Coleman has been there a year longer than I have.
Wow.
And they're still going strong. And I don't know if you remember the engineer, Bobby Allen. He's been there 4 years longer than me.
Wow.
And I asked him, Bobby, how long are you going to do this? He said,
don't leave 3. You guys don't leave.
It's a great place to work.
I mean, clearly it is.
If nothing else, just the view from the office. It's not like
you got the room.
It's not like you're looking across the street at a Panera.
Yeah.
I mean, you're looking at the biggest river
as good a view as you can get.
North Mississippi. It's an unbelievable place physically to go, and they've been very, very good to me over the years.
Yeah, go ahead. I don't want to hear.
Like Mike Suriani just gave me tips as an intern that I still use to this day, where I'm going to use them until Friday.
who were, in turn, you mentioned working with Carver, who's an absolute legend. Mm-hmm. What was that relationship like?
Well, that a very special.
You guys could joke in a way with each other that I'd look, it's like, are they fighting?
Well, here's the thing. Glenn and I were at Memphis State together.
Okay, I don't think I knew that. Together, okay.
And he
should have known that.
And Glenn is either a year or 2 years younger than I. And we were at Memphis State together and came up in the same program. Give you a quick.
Y'all go way back. Okay.
Way
back. That fills some holes. Okay.
Yeah. Is
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't let me interrupt you.
But Glenn and I go way back. So that was just more like a brother than anything, just working with him.
And so how many years would that have been that you two were?
Oh,
I mean, of your 40, it's almost the entire chunk of it. I mean, if we look at it that way, right? I mean, I'm trying to think how many Glenn's been out now.
Man,
but
I think
it felt like the whole time.
Glenn is probably gone 8 or 9 years now.
Okay.
From Channel 3.
So 30, something like that?
Yeah. But yeah, just very close relationship there.
What about the way, and this is something I really wanted to ask you about even type to, you mentioned being moved, and maybe this is a part of it, maybe it's not, but from, in terms of the Grizzlies, at one point you're down low and then they bump you up high. And I think about that in sort of the bumping out in terms of access, like they've pushed us further and further back. Maybe in some cases you're still close, but I'm just talking about in terms of media access in general, right? And maybe, again, it's different for you a little bit in your line of work, the way you're shooting it, but whether it's franchises or programs, it seems to be, Jeff, over the years, that there's been less and less access. Like they're sort of pushing us out, or, you know, not pushing us out, but it's, in some cases, you've got your own media arm, you know. The idea that the access that we used to get, it's been shut off. Do you look at it that way, or does it all feel the same over all these years to you?
No, it's definitely different. And with the Grizzlies,
we used to get in more places, it felt like.
I'm sorry?
We used to get in more places, it felt like. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe that's a shallow way of phrasing it, but.
Well, in I mean, you talk with the Grizzlies, like Ja Morant. I mean, that's not just a superstar. It's an international superstar.
100%.
You're not like, hey, can we get Ja over here to do a little special feature on him? I mean, that though, it, you know, those days are long.
Not happening.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But yeah,
so you lament it at all, or it hasn't affected you in your 40 in a way where you would lament us writers and all that. Man, you're cutting us off. I can't write my story. That didn't apply to you. I'm getting.
That's the difference. It's me as a videographer. I look at my phone where it tells me where to go, where to be, what time to be there, and I go there and I focus and white balance and hit record.
Games themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Do they? For me, game stories started to, I have a hard time remembering it because they all kind of start to run together. Over 40 years, do games and plays stick out, or does it all start, like if I'd ask you, hey, most, you know, this game, do you, the favorite game that you covered, do the memories come like that, or is it all like on just a board and it's all mixed in? I'm just trying to see where your head is because I know how I think about it.
For the most part, it is a big bowl of oatmeal.
That's what I thought. That's me. I wondered if that was my mind or if that's how this goes. And I'm just 13.
And there's guys like Mike Sadie can remember specific plays.
That's amazing.
And Glenn Carver the same way. He can talk about, well, that was the 1986 Midwest Regional, this, that, and the other in the third game. It was in the third quarter when he hit this shot to put them up 86-85. It was just mind-boggling how Mike Sadie and Glenn Carver and those guys can do that.
I don't know how they do it.
I can't. I
don't have that type.
I can remember like
it's too many beers or something.
The Dustin Johnson shot at 18. I can remember that. I mean, there is some really really big things like that. But no, as a whole, it just gets all blurred together with me.
And in terms of, you know, what you think about in terms of the city sports landscape going forward, and it'll be all left up to us to cover after this week because you're retiring. Who are you most excited about now? Are you a fan? Now that you're going to be out, can you just be a fan of these teams? Like, whether it's, you mentioned Ja Morant, are you all in on, you know, Grizzly? Can you root for these teams now in a way maybe you couldn't covering them for 40 years? Like, what happens now in terms of your, and who are you most excited about in terms of Memphis sports? Because you're a part of it. I mean, it's in you.
The people that I'm most excited about are the friends of mine that have season tickets to the Grizzlies and Tiger base basketball, Tiger football, that I can go and freeload on them and go and sit with a cold frosty in my right hand.
This is the key.
And here's the thing that I cannot wait to do. When that clock is triple zeros, I can go home.
Take your tail home.
Don't have to sit around and stand in a locker room and wait for Jaron to put his jewelry on so that we can do post-game interviews.
Brother, when I read that in Tim Buckley's great column about you and your career over at DailyMemphis.com, for those of you who haven't read it, you should go read it about Jeff's career. That's where I was just so happy for you because I felt a little bit of that when I got out of the beat writing where – man, I could just go and be a fan sometimes, just go and have that beer or take my son and enjoy it that way as opposed to being the guy that's supposed to be covering it for you. And it's, brother, you're going to love it.
Well, I tell you, something I'm looking forward to, you know, I've lived in the same house over Cooper Young for 39 years, and I'm looking forward to on a Saturday afternoon, going to get on my bicycle and ride at the quarter of a mile to Tiger Lane and hang out.
And take it in that way.
Take it in and enjoy the food and the drink before the game and go in and cheer the Tigers on. And like I said, when it's over, go back to the crib.
Well, if you see, what is it? Is it, because you know I call you Bubba, but should I be calling you Woodsy? Which nickname is it?
Well, I was Bubba for like 10 years when I was a news photographer.
So that was early. That's why Dad's saying Bubba, Bubba, Bubba.
Right.
Right, I got you. That's it.
Then when I broke away from the news department, we did the outdoor show for 14 years. So obviously it's a transient business. So you have a new crop of people that come through. They've never heard that. So I'm just the angry guy that does the outdoor show. And so I kind of lost the nickname during that. Then 16 and a half, almost 17 years ago when I started as a sports videographer. I believe it was Kevin Barbie, formerly of Channel 13.
Yep, sure.
He started calling me Woodsy. Well, you know, we're always out at news conferences and things together, and he referred to me as Woodsy, and everybody just heard that, and just all of a sudden, I became, in the sports world, I became Woodsy.
Woodsy. Yeah, when Lamar Chance or somebody talks to me about you, it's Woodsy. That's Woodsy. Everybody else, it's Woodsy, yep.
And if I had to choose between the two, I would go with Woodsy.
Sadie last night, Woodsy. We were talking about you. Mike Sadie, I must say, handled that transition and has, in terms of taking it up seamlessly. I don't think we talk probably enough about the job that he's done at 3.
Oh, he's doing a great job.
Yeah.
And the thing that people didn't notice is when Glenn left and Mike Sadie took over for him, his replacement on the weekend as a weekend sports anchor, Megan Rice, she didn't come along for months and months. So Mike was doing
good grief, I don't know,
almost 7 days a week for probably close to 6 months. I'm probably got my math wrong, but it was a long time that he carried the full load on himself. So that.
Well, for our listeners that see you out there on that first Tigers game, I hope they buy you a beer. You know,
I'll take it,
dude. You have earned it. Memphis sports owes you a debt, man, because you've been giving it to us for 40 years, and we've probably been taking it for granted how tough the work was to give it to us. And I tell you what, you wear it well. You look great. You look a hell of a lot younger than my dad. It took a toll on him. You still look pretty good. That wagon must have helped that you picked up.
Well, I lost about 10 pounds last week.
Just through the golf tournament.
Luke, I mean, that's like a spa treatment that you get paid for. Go out, lose weight, get a nice tan.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
You're probably right that it's better that we didn't get my dad from Belize. He's under the weather, because I'd have been an emotional wreck with the two of you on. At least I held it together this interview. But I want you to know I love the hell out of you.
I love the hell out of you, too.
You're my uncle, man.
Probably a good thing that Les didn't come on, because tell the story about South Bend, Indiana, in the Ore House.
The Ore House.
Ore.
Not?
O-A-R, as in paddling a boat. Ore.
You're going to leave us with that? Oh, my goodness. Man, I would have died to get that story out of y'all.
It's a good one.
Maybe you can tell it to me off air. Love you, brother. He is Jeff Woods. He's the best to have ever done it. And he'll be retiring from News Channel 3 end of the week on Friday. Congratulations again.
Thank you.
We'll be back to discuss a whole bunch more, and I'll get and pull myself together. You're listening to Jason John, 929 FM ESPN.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.